and just kind of get ready to believe God to do something good. How many of you know you can come into the presence of God with an expectation? Say amen. How many of you came today expecting God to do something for you? Do you know that that's not arrogant to believe God to want to do? Do you know God wants to do good for you? It's his desire. He desires to give you the best, and guess what? He's the best. Amen? And he's going to give you all of who he is. So today we're going to be being prepared to prepare your hearts and expect something good from God today. Let's pray over the word before we jump into it. Father, I thank you that your word is life. I thank you that you're not a silent God, but you're still speaking to us today. I pray that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts prepared to receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last few weeks, we've been discussing about power for living, and we've been talking about, we started off this series by saying we need to be connected to the right sources. How many of you know we live in probably one of the most connected, technologically speaking, one of the most connected ages that human history has ever seen? We're wired in. We're wired into Facebook. We're wired into all the different social media platforms. We're wired in through Amazon. I mean, how many of you know right now brick and mortar retail is suffering because of online shopping? We live in a world where what I want to call the Amazon Prime world, where you order it today and it'll be at your front doorstep by tomorrow. How many of you know that's messing up our patience a little bit, right? Like, I remember, it's like now you want music, all you have to do is just go ahead and turn on to your Apple Music, and you just find whatever album you want to play and just hit play. When I was a kid, you had to wait for it to drop to the record store. You had to get on your bike. You had to ride yourself down to there and for weeks, and you better hope that they had one in stock. And if they didn't have it in stock, you had to pay your $8.99 for the cassette, and then you had to wait 3.5 weeks for it to come back in before you got back on your bike and you pedaled down there, and you thought, wow. Was I the only one who ever did that? Apparently I had a very specific childhood going on. But you know, I mean, we live in this day and age where we don't necessarily find ourselves in positions to where we tend to wait long for much. Amen? We live wired, we live connected in, but the problem with that is we have all this convenience, we have all of this wonderful things that are given to us, we have all this technology at our fingertips, yet we are dealing with probably the up-and-coming, the loneliest and most depressed generation that we have ever seen. And that's problematic, right? Because what we're doing is we have so many things to connect to, yet we're connecting to the wrong things. We're connecting to things that are going to disappoint us. We're connecting to things that are not going to be a true source for living, a true source for power. So what we began to discuss in week one, we talked about how we got to be connected to the Word. Somebody say amen. And then last week, we talked about how we have to be connected to prayer. How many of you know prayer is important? And this week, I want to talk a little bit about being connected through worship. Let's look in Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And I've asked the worship team to stay up there because we're going to worship at the end of service today. And I'm just going to believe God to do some things in your life today. It says this, "But above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." How many of you know that always be thankful is the key to praise and worship? Praise and worship is about connecting to God through a heart of gratitude. Verse 16, it says, "Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives." That speaks of focus. "Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." What I want to talk about today is I want to really focus in on worship. Too often we come into church services, and too often we come together and we begin to worship, and we begin to judge whether or not worship was good or not based on how it made us feel. Come on. How many of you ever said this before? I didn't really particularly feel anything in worship today. Anybody ever said that? Come on, you're a bunch of liars. Come on. Right? I've said it. You know? It's almost like I was disconnected. Like I looked around and I watched everybody else, and it's like, well, you know, well, Billy's getting it, Andy's getting it, Marlene's getting it, Alfred's getting it, but I don't feel a thing. See, too often we make worship dependent upon about how we feel and not enough about what it's really about. Worship is not about feeling. Worship is about deciding. Can I say that again? Worship's not about what you feel. It's about what you decide, what you choose. Your will has a lot to do with worship. Psalm 119, 108 says this, "Accept my," what's that word say? "Free will, offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules." See, you know, there very rarely do we ever walk into a worship service and we walk in and all of a sudden we get smacked in the head with this intense presence that's there, and where we end up going, oh, I just have to begin to shout and worship like something took me over. I'm going to tell you, nothing will ever take you over to make you worship. It has to be a free will offering. I have to choose in this moment to connect with the source, to connect with the presence of God, to connect with who He is, and I have to make a free will decision to worship, to praise. And it has nothing to do with how. Now listen, we can get some emotionalism because our band is good, and we can get some atmosphere because our singers are excellent, and we can create an environment which makes it easier for us to connect with God. How many of you know when we come into a room full of people worshiping together, it makes it easier for us to connect? But you still have to decide. Because you could walk into a room full of 10,000 worshipers, fully connected, and stand there with your arms crossed, with a cynical heart, and never connect. And the truth is, it has nothing to do about the quality of the band. Worship's a decision, not a performance. You guys okay today? So we're talking about deciding this. You know, we've heard stories of underground churches throughout Asia that when they come together, they worship, and because they have to be quiet, they worship in silence. No band, no music, nothing being sung out loud, for fear of being found. How many of you know that's probably a powerful worship service? And not a single song is played. Not a single voice is raised. Because it's not about the performance. It's about the decision. You choose what you worship. Amen? It's not a, shall I say this, a hype, spiritual hype decision. It's an active choice that we determine. Psalm 95:6 says this, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel down before the Lord our Maker." If you look at that scripture right there, there's a bunch of commandments of things that we need to do in order to engage it. The first thing is you have to come. It says you've got to show up. Amen. Go back to Psalm 95:6 for me, Liam. Thank you. It goes. It says you've got to come, show up, right? How many of you know you showed up today? Amen. You came into the presence of the Lord. Let us worship. Once again, that's us making a decision to do something. Let us bow down. How many of you know that's a choice of your will? Amen? Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. It's about deciding on whom or what you will focus on today. It's a decision that to direct our mind, our will, and our emotions toward a specific thing, a specific person. How many of you know you can walk into a church service, everybody can be singing, but you can be worshiping something other than God? Because what you worship is where you direct your mind, your will, and your emotion to. You could be worshiping your fears. You could be worshiping your worries. But you know those are not good things to worship. Amen? See, God doesn't choose what we focus on. We do. How many of you know you're not going to walk through the doors of this building and God's not going to override your will? He's not going to possess your body. Come on. How many of you were ever prayed this prayer? God, if you would just make me a robot to do whatever you say. You know why God will never do that? Because true love cannot exist outside of free will. What do I mean by that? If I force something to love me, come on, that thing has not chosen me. See, free will is a messy thing. But yet God thought it was important enough to give it to us. How many of you know through free will, we've created a bunch of messes in the world? But it is impossible to truly experience love outside of the auspices of free will. Because love is about saying, today I choose. Not today I feel. Come on. How many of you know we are too given to what we feel? Right? We live, you know, today I choose to worship. Today I choose to direct my focus toward God. Mary understood this, and Mary's song of praise in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 48. It's what we call the Magnificat. And Mary said this. She says, my soul, being my mind, my will, and my emotions, magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. See, Mary, when she was told that you're going to be the mother of the Savior, she chose to instantly turn that focus back on God. And she said, I'm going to take my will, my emotions, my mind, my being, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to look upon God. And I will magnify him. Pastor Greg used to teach this all the time. Your soul is a magnifier. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Whatever you focus those things on become the biggest things in your life. Whatever you choose to put your mind, your will, and your emotion to will become the biggest obstacles, the biggest things you see. So what are you going to choose to magnify? Are you going to choose to magnify your problems? Your situations, your circumstances, your lack, your frustrations. We got any worriers in the house? Anybody willing to admit to it, just wave to me, yeah? How many of you know, when you worry about something, all of your effort goes to that thing? Is that not true? All of your attention, you can't think about anything else while that is an issue. Come on, it'll disrupt your sleep, it'll disrupt your eating, it'll disrupt your focus. That's why God says you have to focus on me. Amen? We have to choose where we focus. The thing you put your attention to becomes the biggest thing in your world. And what we need to begin to understand, worship is not circumstantial. Can I say that again? Worship is not about your circumstances. It's not circumstantial. Psalm 42, 1 through 8. We're going to look a lot at David today. Maybe you know David was a good worshiper. You know what's brilliant about that is that David was not a perfect man. There's going to be times in David's life where he probably wasn't even a good man. Yet he knew how to worship God. He knew how to focus him. He said this, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food. You ever felt like that? While my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration. Why am I discouraged? See, David is calling his remembrance back. He says, in this moment I'm suffering. In this moment I'm struggling. At this very point, it's like I'm eating my own tears. But I remember when I walked among the worshipers and I walked among the people who were celebrating God. I remember what it felt to be in his presence. Why am I so discouraged in this moment? Why is my heart so sad? I will, it's a choice, put my hope in God. I will, it's a choice, praise him again. My Savior and my God, now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from a distance, Mount Hermon, the source of Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. See, David, what we see here is we're seeing him make a shift of focus. He's not denying that there are some pretty crummy circumstances going, because at this point in his life, David was running for his life. You ever felt like you've been running for your life? Yeah? Well, you can talk to David when you're hiding out in a cave next time. Right? And so what happened is David was not under the best of circumstances in this moment, yet he made a choice. He made a decision. See, too often we allow circumstances to dictate whether or not we will worship. Too often we look at the condition of our life and say, well, I'm not going to worship today because things aren't very good. We allow our circumstances to shift our focus away from the heart decision and cause us to despair and become disappointed. David was quite familiar with this. He was quite in touch with this. And Psalm 43, verses 1 through 5 says this: Declare me innocent, O God. Defend me against these ungodly people. You ever prayed that one? Come on, that's a prayer you need to start to pray. Defend me against these heathen Philistines out here, right? Rescue me from these unjust liars. For you are God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? You ever felt tossed aside? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to a place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. You notice he's recognizing where his source is. Isn't that what we're talking about here? Where do I go? Where's my source? Why am I discouraged? He says again. Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. He didn't say, I praised him once and that's enough. He didn't say, I worshiped him once and that's enough. He says, I will do it again. I will go to the source again. I will return again to the presence of God. You know why we show up every week? Because we are coming again to the presence of God. We're returning again. Do you know you don't have to wait till Sunday to return to the source? You can show up again tomorrow, and you can show up again the next day in your car on the way to work, and you can show up the next day when you get up in the morning before everybody else is up and the house is quiet. You can show up again. Isn't that awesome? We can return again to the presence of God. You can show up in his presence if the circumstances of your life are a complete and total mess. As a matter of fact, I would urge you, if your circumstances in your life are a complete and total mess, you better show up again. You better choose again to be in his presence. You've heard me say this before, but it bears repeating, and I'm going to keep saying it till I hear everybody else saying it. If you only praise God when circumstances are good, then you do not worship God, you worship good circumstances. See, it's easy to praise when everything's going my way. It's a different animal when I have to show up on a day when it seems like the world is stacked against me, when it seems like things aren't moving in the right direction. How many of you know that's a different level of maturity to say, you know what? Seems like all my enemies are trying to kill me today. But why am I discouraged? I'm going to show up for God. Isn't that awesome? You guys okay today? See, what we need to learn and understand, and here I'm getting to the real point of my message today. What we need to understand is oftentimes circumstances will try to get you in a position where you're stuck. Anybody ever felt stuck before? There's no movement. There's no way out of here. There's no progress. There's no, I can't go anywhere. I'm trapped. I feel trapped. I feel like everything's closing in on me. I'm stuck. And you get frustrated. Anybody been frustrated before? Because you don't feel like you're going anywhere. You're not making any progress. You're not making any movement. Man, it almost seems like for every good thing that happens, two bad things happen. and you're just working as hard as you can work, man, but those wheels are spinning, but you're just stuck in the mud. I'll tell you what, there is no worse feeling than getting a little bit stuck in the mud, and you start spinning those wheels, and you know you're laying it down, but you're not going anywhere. All you know is that I'm digging this deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, right? That's a tough place to be. But see, what we need to understand is worship creates momentum. And I'm going to point that out to you this morning. Let's look at a simple definition of momentum. See, momentum describes how strong a moving thing is. How many of you took science class? Yeah, everybody over here did. I don't know about y'all, but they did at least. Right? Momentum describes how strong a moving thing is. Things that are not moving have no momentum. Right? They have nothing moving them forward. Moving things have less momentum if they are light, are moving slowly. And more momentum if they are heavy and moving fast. Into the summer, we're going to be having a day at Hawaiian Falls. We do it every year where we're all going to come together and go out to Hawaiian Falls after service one day. And, you know, what's interesting is it could be said that I like to get on the slides. And what's funny is, so last year, me and Robbie went with his kids. How many of you know Hawaiian Falls, they got that big one where you get like four or five people in, right? So we got in, and all of a sudden, how many of you know the momentum shifted in their world? When you put me and Robbie in with two lightweights, those kids are going to go faster than they've ever gone before. Because it's a lot more weight moving a lot quicker in one direction. Right? And when that gets moving, that makes a difference. One way to think about momentum is that it measures how difficult it is to stop an object. See, momentum is equal to mass times velocity or speed. So if a car, something that has a lot of mass to it, is rolling down a street towards you, it will be hard to stop even if it's going pretty slow. You ever tried to stop a car that you forgot to put in park before? You ever try to push a car? Come on, it takes a little bit to get some momentum going, doesn't it? Because there's weight to it. But how many of you know, you get that thing moving, it's a lot harder to stop, isn't it? It's about what can be strength put in motion. See, momentum also includes the concept of direction. In other words, momentum is focused on moving you in a certain direction. When we were in the slide with the kids, we had one direction we were going, and it was down. And it was fast. And when it was time to stop, where they would have stopped, we kept going. We knocked the poor kid, teenager, that's working the you know, guys that works the slide at the bottom. You know, you're trusting your life to that 15-year-old at the bottom of the slide. We knocked that poor kid over. He was not prepared for the momentum coming his way. Poor guy fell in the tub with us, and then we were all trying to get out. It was a mess. It was like two pigs trying to hop a fence. It was hilarious. Because we created momentum in a certain direction. See, the spiritual application of this principle is that God and His love is the greatest, most powerful thing in the universe. It's the mass. And it is unstoppable. That's the velocity. And it is directed toward us and through us. See, when we choose to focus our worship, despite our circumstances, on our great God who has chosen to love us, we begin to move toward Him, and He begins to move toward us. We begin to get unstuck. Come on. Worshiping God creates movement. See, the first key to unleashing a greater momentum or movement from God through our lives is by increasing our worship and embracing God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. In other words, we should seek to know God's love on a personal, experiential level more and more and more each day. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're feeling stuck in any position, you've got to begin to worship and praise your way out of it. It will create movement. It will create motion. God will move towards you. God will begin to move in you. God will begin to move through you. And all of a sudden, all the power and all the momentum and all that He generates, you'll be swept up in it. Isn't that awesome? And all of a sudden, those circumstances that had you locked down and buried down and had you buried up to the tires, those things will begin to let go. Those things will begin to go away. And all of a sudden, God's momentum will be bigger and stronger and more powerful than the hold of the circumstances. Amen? See, when God's energy is aimed toward a thing, nothing can stop Him. Amen? Let's look at something in Scripture here today. Acts chapter 16. It's a very famous story. We all probably have heard it, but we're going to read it again. Talking about Paul and Silas, they were arrested for doing the work of God. They were arrested. How many of you know they got arrested for doing what God told them to do? How many think that's crummy? Yeah? Look, God didn't promise you'd be easy. He just said He'd help you. Come on. The circumstances, listen, they were doing right, yet they found themselves in prison. They were doing what God told them to do, yet they found themselves stuck. How many of you know you can't be more stuck than in prison? They were chained in this moment. So around midnight, there's something about worshiping in the middle of the night. You know why they bring that up? It's because it's the darkest point. There's something about worshiping in the darkest point, in the darkest place, at the darkest time. Y'all, listen. They were in jail. They had done right. And this isn't like nice jail. This is a hole in the ground. This is a pit. This is filthy. This is disgusting. They're mired in it. They're in this dark place at this dark time. And around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Never underestimate who's watching you in the middle of the dark spot. The other prisoners were listening. These guys made a focused decision, and they began to disregard their circumstances. Verse 26, suddenly, how many of you know when suddenly shows up in the Bible, you should probably pay attention? Right? Aren't you glad we serve a suddenly God? Right? Because that tells me that no matter how bad my circumstances are, they can change suddenly. Amen? Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Movement and momentum began to happen. Come on. Does this not excite you? That in the middle of that mess, they begin to praise and worship. There were people watching him. Not only did Paul and Silas get free, listen, he didn't just shake Paul and Silas's chains. He began to set free everybody around them. When you begin to worship, your momentum and your movement cannot be contained with just your life. It will begin to pour out on people around you. It'll begin to affect others. It'll begin to start setting other people free. It'll begin to start shaking other people's circumstances. It'll drop their chains off of them. If you want to get your family out of a mess, start worshiping God. If you want to get change your situation in your community, become a worshiper. Guys, we come together not just to set ourselves free, but to set this community free. It's so much bigger than just us. there is other people who are going to be affected in that moment. See, the jailer woke up to see, verse 27, the prison doors wide open. And he assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. How many of you know he was trying to do himself a mercy? Because for a Roman soldier to fail at his job was not good. But Paul shouted to him, stop. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. The jailer called for lights. That reminds you how dark it was. It ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Isn't that awesome? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. This moment of worship brought this man to repentance. This moment of liberation was not just liberation for Paul and Silas, it was liberation for the jailer. Come on. And not just the jailer alone, but his family. You want to know why? Because that jailer began to praise and worship God, and it couldn't stay contained to him. It poured out on his family as well. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. Worship changed the circumstances in the situation. Worship took circumstances that were meant to bring destruction and to hold people down and turned it into a moment of liberation, turned it into a moment of freedom, turned it into a moment that didn't just see Paul and Silas set free. See, how many of you know, no matter how many chains you put on Paul and Silas in that moment, they were already free. Paul, he would say it all the time, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I live, I'll live for him. If you kill me, I go to be with him. I win. Come on. See, worship was about getting the focus off of him and onto who what God wanted to do. And then God began to enact his plan of movement and momentum through them. And the kingdom grew that day. Come on. You guys okay this morning? Come on, worship team, start warming up. We're gonna worship here in a minute. I don't know every circumstance, and I don't know every situation going on in this room. I don't know where you're stuck. I don't know what circumstances have you bogged down with everybody. But I do know this. When God's love moves towards you in that moment, you can't stay stuck forever. Eventually, chains are going to come off. Eventually, that prison door that held you is going to start shaking. Eventually, you're going to be able to stand up in the middle of your circumstances and see the goodness of God move. And you're going to see freedom come not just to you, but to the people around you. But it all starts with a conscious free will decision of what I'm going to choose to focus on today. You choose your focus. You choose what you're going to serve today. I don't know about you, but I choose to serve the Lord. Amen? Let's make a decision today that we will choose to direct our mind, will, and emotions to magnify the Lord. Let's disregard whatever our circumstances are and begin to regard the Lord of the circumstances. Amen? Let's move forward with earth-shaking momentum to advance His purpose in the earth. Let's worship our way to freedom. Let's worship our way to movement and momentum. So stand to your feet with me today. And before we jump into worship, I just want to ask a simple question. Is there anybody in here that you have a situation or a circumstance going on in your life where you could use it, the momentum of God to show up, where you can get a little bit unstuck? Is there anybody here who needs to get unstuck somewhere? Amen? Come on, let's believe God to do that. Listen, I'm going to pray over you, but I'm going to trust God in you today. That as you focus on Him, as you begin to adore Him, as you worship Him, He's going to begin to move on your behalf and begin to create movement in that situation. See, your job is not to solve it. Your job is to declare the goodness of the God of it. Amen? Can we give the Lord praise? Let's just give Him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Father, for every situation and every circumstance in here today, before we go and celebrate with each other, we want to celebrate You. We declare today to be a day where our God is greater and our God is stronger. And we thank You, Lord. Let's worship for just a couple songs together. Amen. Then we'll close.